Man, a scary situation on I-65 down around Franklin early this morning as a family that was traveling to participate in assisting a family member who's going in for heart surgery down in Alabama. Their SUV, they were traveling down I-65, and somebody in a light-colored Dodge Charger fired at least one shot into their back windshield, injuring an 11-month-old baby in the car with some flying glass. Fortunately, the bullet whizzed through the car, didn't hit anybody directly, but if you know someone who has a light-colored Dodge Charger that might have been driving around 65 last night south of Brentwood, between Brentwood and Franklin, you might tell them that they're being searched for by the TBI and other investigators. What is going on? Man, Nashville's crime is just out of control. You're seeing more of the break-ins of, you know, people just busting out windows of cars and shootings. It's just, you know, heck of a job, Mayor Briley. I mean, you're really knocking it out of the park with your leadership in Nashville. We're going to have a mayor's race in Nashville later this year, and perhaps the crime issue will be at the top of the list. Maybe the legislature will start taking a look at crime as well, as the Tennessee legislature kicks off in earnest on Monday after the inauguration of Governor Bill Lee on Saturday. One of those who's going to be participating in the inaugural events and watching with great attention is a former state party chair of the state of Tennessee, Robin Smith, now State Representative Robin Smith from down in the Chattanooga area. And she's also a brand new committee chairman and will focus on how we deal with the issues that affect the health, insurance, and health care of the people of Tennessee. And Robin, good to have you with us.
Good morning, Steve and Michael. Great to be back together again.
You know, I'm not sure if it's unusual or historic that a freshman member of the state house would be appointed to chair a committee.
It might be historic for an almost 56-year-old to be a freshman.
Well, Robin, you have a terrific experience here, and we first met 11 years ago when you were the chairman of the Republican National Committee. I was a delegate to the convention. And by the way, you did a great job as chairman, and thank you for all your work there.
Well, whether it's been in healthcare or whether it's been in project management or politics or now in a new endeavor, I've always been very blessed to work with especially effective and excellent teams. And I don't expect that this experience in the state legislature is going to be any different under the leadership or Speaker Glenn Cassidy, Majority Leader William Lambreth, and our caucus chairman, Cameron Sexton. But back in those days, Michael and Steve, you remember, we were kind of snickered at when we were in the minority, and we had that audacious dream of, what was it, hold the pen in 2010. That was our goal, was to be in control of the state legislature to impact redistricting, which always seemed to work against us when the Democrats were in charge. And we put a plan together and ran, I believe it was 27 races, and we won 14 of those in the state legislature. And it was a matter of teamwork. And if you walk in my office, not today, but tomorrow, one of my favorite pieces on the wall will be placed, and it's the Stanford crew team from years ago. And it just shows a very elegant picture of some folks in a crew hall. And they're all rowing at the cadence, and that's what happens when you're an effective team. If you get in the same boat, you listen to the cadence, the call of the coxswain, and you begin to row in the right direction, good things happen. And we achieved that goal thanks much to talk radio and grassroots people back in 2008. We achieved that goal 2 years earlier than we anticipated to hold the pen for redistricting. But now wearing a different hat, you know, y'all, everyone kind of laughs. Back in 2007 through 9, every day when I got up, my job was to win Republican races. And now my job is to serve the people of Tennessee and make sure that their Tennessee government is producing good value with their tax dollars.
Yeah, you mentioned the redistricting. It's kind of interesting that for, I don't know, a century, you know, Democrats controlled most state legislators, controlled the pen when it came to drawing districts. They had no problem at all over-representing Democrat votes, under-representing Republican votes when it came to the district lines that were drawn both in congressional seats and state house and state senate seats. Now that Republicans have moved to the majority in places like Tennessee and other states, oh, they're going to court to say redistricting should not be done with an eye to politics. It's amazing how they flipped their whole appreciation for legislative control once they lost that legislative control?
Oh, it's terribly fascinating. Whether it's taking folks to court like newly appointed Senator Rosalynn Kurita, who's now going to caucus with the Republicans in the Tennessee Senate. You know, she was sued by her own party. I currently am being sued by Democrats, even though we've already won the race. They're continuing to try to appeal and overturn the wishes of House District 26 because they are alleging that the ballot was open, or the qualifying deadline was open inappropriately. You know, we're witnessing the litigiousness and the fact that it's very difficult for Democrats to win at the ballot box, so they take that energy into court and shop courtrooms and look for a favorable outcome. But in my case, I have every belief it's going to turn out the right way and that the system will work very well. Also, the fact that I find it terribly ironic that now Senator Rosalynn Kurita is caucusing with the Republicans in the Tennessee House. So sometimes it just works out. You just have to let time be an effective ingredient.
It's kind of an interesting waste of resources, court time, and other money that the Democrats are going to try to challenge you even now that you've assumed office. If you were somehow forced out of office by the Democrats, there would be a special election that you would win handily. I mean, it's not like they're going to get the seat if they succeed in their litigation.
Well, it's terribly funny. The young lady who was my Democrat opponent in this particular case has never lived in the district while votes were being cast in either the primary or the general election. And yet the Democrats are trying to sue to overturn this particular race. So it is a waste of resources. It's a distraction. And as we both know, obstruction, distraction, delay, those are the tactics of those people that treat everything politically rather than to govern. And with this incoming 111th General Assembly, I can tell you that one of the key priorities that we're going to be addressing is health care. That's a something near and dear to my heart as a former critical care, a cardiac care, heart transplant nurse. And knowing that we have really bungled the terminology, and I think it's time. I think Tennessee can lead in this particular area as well. When you think about, we are equating health insurance with health care. And if we're able to bend the cost curve down for health care services, then you drive up access and you also help people that are paying, you know, three, four. I spoke with a waiter last night who was attending a meeting that I held for constituents. And he was telling me, Robin, my deductible is $5,000. I'm a young, healthy male. I never meet my deductible unless I anticipate being in a car accident or something traumatic, which I don't plan to do. And so he was the picture-perfect reason that we've got to have price transparency in the state. We've got to do some things to the market to enhance consumer-driven decisions in the healthcare avenue, because so much of the out-of-pocket expenses are coming from the patient, and they're not able to shop. I've got one of my dear friends right now is having hand surgery. He asked no fewer than four times within the last 2 days, how much does my surgery cost? How much does my surgery cost? No one can tell him.
Well, we've set up a system where the consumer has no real tie to what they're purchasing. So there's not been any cost transparency, as you point out, that would cause somebody to say, well, maybe I could go down to the street to another hospital and get that surgery for half that cost. And there's none of that's in it. You know, the other thing is just this, the defensive medicine. And again, as you move into your position as chairman of this new committee, we've got to find a way to remove this defensive medicine approach that if I go in with a sprained ankle, they feel like they've got to do MRIs and everything like that, because if they do an X-ray that costs a couple of $100 instead of an MRI that costs several thousand, if they miss it, I'm going to sue them. Or that you can get drugs in Canada much cheaper than in the U.S. because if 30 years from now there's some slick bunch of lawyers that decide they can run TV commercials and say, have you suffered from this, from some drug that was diagnosed and approved by the FDA 30 years ago? We can get you millions, and they have to build that cost into the cost of each drug.
Well, the two terrific points that you make there, and they're kind of separate points. One on the defensive medicine side, I'm the nerd that has watched U.S. Senator Lamar Alexander's Health Committee, Health Education Labor Pension Committee. They've had six hearings for the last 6 months, And I've watched, there's an estimate of about 30 to 50% of the healthcare dollar that's being spent is done so that's unnecessary, just in the vein that you're talking about. And there is a fear of, you know, litigation. There's also a fear that you know, you're not going to be reimbursed if you don't follow a proscribed method of algorithm for insurance reimbursement. And so there's a couple of things that we need to address about the market there that incentivizes doctors making decisions based on a cookbook approach to medicine rather than real-time patient review and assessment and care. The second thing that you mentioned there about drug costs, one of the things that I think is becoming more and more apparent is America pays for the world's research and development. And this is something that the state legislature cannot address on its own. But we can encourage our folks in Washington, and maybe this is something that you talk with Congressman Rose and Green and Blackburn, U.S. Senator Blackburn and Alexander about. You know, many nations have price caps on what they permit drug companies to charge for medications, and that shifts all the burden to the United States for the research and development costs. And so profit is not a dirty word to this conservative because we know that wealth and work is very dignified.
Well, and then we also have a very short period. If I develop some new drug, spend all this money, and I may spend it on 10 and only one works, I've only got a limited time that my ability to recapture that profit, again, while we're funding cheap drugs around the world, I've only got a limited time to recoup my investment. And again, that includes all the failed research that didn't produce a drug that we could market. Again, it is a system that is out of whack, and I'm pretty happy that you're going to be, at least in Tennessee, helping focus the attention on some workable solutions. Robin Smith, we'll talk with you again and often during this legislative session. The door is always open here. Well, at least the phone is, so we'll talk to you again soon. This is the Tennessee Star Report. We're back in just a moment.